from Sulphur, Oklahoma. They serve in their local church there, and then they're sent out and they go different places and minister. I know Cammie ministers a lot in different women's conferences and retreats and in churches, and but they're both on staff at their local church. They're at Faith Center Church in Sulphur, Oklahoma, so if you're ever up that way, you can go say hi to them. I just want to tell you how I met Cammie real quick before I bring him up here. I met Craig first, her brother. He's older, right? Yeah, he's always older. He's always older. I shouldn't even said that. So her older brother, Craig Limley, and he used to be on the power team back in the 80s, right? And I think he was in his 40s when I had him here, and he was still doing feats of strength, and so I had him come on a Father's Day. And so he did some feats of strength where he snapped some bats, I can't remember what. The one thing I do remember him doing was blowing up that, what would you call it? Yeah, the hot water bottle. He was blowing it up, and it got down. I'm serious. He was up here on stage, and it got down here onto the floor, if you remember. And I'm sitting right there. And wisdom from God came to me. Mark, get up and move. Pastor, you're going to die right now. So I got up and moved, and that thing popped and exploded. And afterwards, because I was watching him, I was like, we're going to have to call the ambulance, paramedics, or something, because his face was beet red. And he finally got that thing to blow up. And afterwards, we were laughing about it over lunch. And he said, Pastor, I'm telling you what, most of the time those things explode before then. He goes, I didn't know if it was ever going to explode. And he goes, I was up there in between breaths. I was praying, Jesus, bust this thing now. You know, angel, bring a sword or something. And so anyway, but just a great guy, great family. So I met Craig first. And if you know Craig, and Craig's pastoring at the church now. I mean, the whole family, their dad is the apostle teacher. That's what I found out. And then Craig is more of an evangelist, I would say. Manny, Cammie's husband, is the shepherd, the pastor. He's got a big pastor's heart, if you know Manny. And then Cammie is a prophetess. I mean, she can bring the word. And so, but what was funny about this, how this happened, was Pastor Cody Anderson, most of you know him here, he was one who told me to bring Craig in and said he'll do a great job. He's got an evangelistic anointing. And that Sunday on Father's Day, I think the whole front was full of men. I mean, he can throw a net and everybody comes. He's just got that anointing upon him. But Cody told me, he said, but if you want somebody to come in and really minister to your people and love on your people, you need to get Cammie and Manny to come. And said, Cammie can bring a right now word for you. And I was like, Cammie, who's that? And he said, that's Craig's sister. And so we had Cammie, I think, how many times have you been here now? I mean, is it, yeah, I don't, yeah, something. Yeah, so we, and so, and then I was like, okay, we're going to bring Cammie. And then some of the ladies here went on a retreat where Cammie was speaking. They said, you got to bring Cammie in. So I was like, okay, there's confirmation. So here is Cammie and Manny all the way from Sulphur, Oklahoma this morning. So come on up here, guys. Love you guys. They're dear friends of ours. Love you guys.
Thank you, Pastor Mark. It is a true honor, family, for us to be here this morning. And I say family because when you come back a second time or more, you're no longer a guest. We feel like we are around family this morning. So just before Miss Cammie comes to deliver the word that God's put on her heart, she just asked me to pray before we turn her loose, is what we usually do with Miss Cammie. I know you're excited. Are you ready to receive from the Lord this morning? I know that you are. We're ready. I know He's ready. And I know she's been seeking the Lord, but let me just say before we pray just how much we love your pastors. Yes. And how we just want to honor Pastor Mark and Miss Jada. We love them. They are the real deal, and I'm sure you all know that better than anybody. And we are blessed to be in relationship with them, and we love this house. We love you. And so with that said, let's bow, and I just want to pray over this time together. Father, right now in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, that your presence is already here. We thank you, Father. I just heard in my heart during our worship that we are in a time and season during this harvest season where it is a harvest of power. An end-time church needs an end-time power. And you said in your word in the last days you would pour out your spirit on all flesh. And I thank you for that being manifested in this time, Father God, that there is a just a power being poured out among your people right now for such a time as this. And so we declare it and we speak it forth. And may our time together, Father, be heavenly. Bring heaven down is what we prayed on the way here this morning. And so, Father, we thank you for that. Minister to every person within the sound of our voice today. And we thank you that as we leave today, we will know that we would have been with you and have heard from you and would have received, Father, everything that you have for this moment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, babe. Thank you, honey. You know, he is the head of our home, and he is the head of me and my covering, and I could not be in the ministry without Manny. And I say this, but everybody needs a Manny in their life. And I don't know what I did to deserve that, but thank you, Jesus. He's better than me, and that's okay, and I can own that. Keeps me humble, glory. I want to tag team with what Manny said. You are extended family. We've missed you. You're in our heart, and you're a part of our family. The friendships, the covenant friendships that have formed that I can lean on. Ministers need friends. We're real, and we go through real stuff that you can call on a Jennifer and say, I need intercession. We need prayer. And you know, had Pastor Mark not had us come in, you just can, I could go on and on about the kingdom connections that have formed that has made us better. And but I do, before I get into this word, I do want to honor Pastor Mark and Miss Jada, because I'm going to be transparent. This is our fourth time to come here, but I can honestly say to you, the 3 years in a row that we've come, we've just come out of hell. It'll be in December a year of normalcy that we've had. But the last time we were here, we were at the end of our rope, personally, as a family. And afterwards, Jada and Pastor Mark, we were over here. I'll never forget it. And we were locking arms. And we just told them, this is where we're at. You got to be real. And you got to confess where you are. And that's what the word says to do. We got to confess one to another. And it's not to shame us. It's to heal us. Because we could have left as pastors, well, we're not going to let them know. And then that would have been pride. And we're like, okay, it's where we're at. It's what we're facing as parents. And they formed a knot in that rope that we were literally at the end of, that we held on to. That prayer was so prophetic. And Pastor Mark, you spoke something over our son. And it was our son. And you spoke, Jaden will be delivered to be a deliverer. That did something in my soul. I wrote it down when we left. I spoke it over him every day. I still prophesy over him every day. Jaden Craig can too. You will be delivered, and you will be a deliverer of what you've been delivered of. And I can stand before you and say to you, it'll be a year in December, our son is delivered of it. Totally delivered. Totally delivered. And I'm going to tell you, it was no small deliverance what he was delivered of. He's a miracle. He's a miracle. He is the one that the doctor said he'll never work again. He'll be on disability the rest of his life. He was the one on 7 medications a day, off of all of them. Has had a job now for 5 months. The boy's healed. Mentally, the boy is healed. Don't give up, parents. Don't give up. Amen. So I could go on and on and on. But before I minister on Rosh Hashanah, the open door, I want to tell you what the Lord, he gave me a prophetic word about the month of September. He's been giving me since June one word about months. And I've never had this happen to me before. And it comes through prayer. And he began to prophesy to me through prayer about the month of September. However, I did not realize at the beginning of the month of September that that is when Israel would turn 5784. I did not know this. And I'm going to be transparent with you and honest with you. When Pastor Mark reached out to me in September and said, this is what I feel God is showing me for the month of October. It is the open door concerning Rosh Hashanah and concerning the open door. And I'm going, I have no idea what you're talking about. I mean, I've heard of it, but I didn't know it. And so I want to reveal to you prophetically what the Lord showed me about the month of September, not knowing about the open door in the month of October, okay, that started in September. But the Lord showed me prophetically that in September, we would take certain steps. Steps would be taken in September. As the body of Christ, we would take vital steps. That we would step out of and we would step into. That we would step out of what's familiar. We would step out of bondage. We would step out of the valley. We would step out of disease. We would step out of trauma. We would step out of this old sin and these patterns. We would step out of it and we would step into. However, at the time, I had no idea what are we going to step into until Pastor Mark reached out to me and said, October, I want you to minister on the open door. And immediately the Holy Spirit said, I told you, you're going to step out of and you're going to step into the open door. And then the Holy Spirit began to share with me, how are we going to step into this open door? You have to understand that the enemy is constantly throwing stones at you. And I almost saw a hand and a fist with a stone. And it was almost like the God holding a stone. That the enemy has been throwing stones at you. And God has these stones in his hand. And he's placing these stones at your feet. And all of a sudden that stone that's been thrown at you is now your stepping stone to enter into the open door. Stones that have been thrown at you. Now hear this though. In order for us to step into the open door, we got to step out of old doors. Because old doors lead to old rooms, old hallways. If you're going to step into the new open door, then we got to step out of some old patterns, some old habits, old mindsets, old religion. Come on, old wineskin. We got to let the old go in order to go into the new open door. Now you got to hear this. The word door, just the word door in the Bible is mentioned 189 times. And the open door, now the open door in the Bible is referring to heaven's door. Heaven's door. And it appears in the Bible 190 times. 190 times. So the open door is very biblical and it's very prophetic, especially for where we are on Israel's calendar. It is not coincidental that when God showed Pastor Mark about the open door, at that time there was no war, no attack on Israel. The attack happened on October 7th. So if the Bible is referring to the open door to heaven, we know right now that the Jewish people who are being slaughtered and murdered could be going through the open door of heaven if they're saved. Think about it. So 5784 is the new year for Israel. That started in September. I'm going to do a little teaching. This is not like me, but I'm excited about it. It's a new wineskin, right? It's a new door. Yeah. Now hear this. Israel, they have gone from 5783 to 5784. In the same way, we are 2023 right now. But then we'll go to 2024 in January. Now here. So on a calendar gives us dates through what? Numbers. Numbers are very important to God. He created numbers and he did things in numbers. Numbers are very prophetic. The number four, again, we're talking about 84 and 24. The number four means times and seasons. On the fourth day, God created the sun and the moon, which are symbols of time and seasons. God put the sun and the moon in the sky to tell us time and season. Just a little side note, the moon alone will determine what the ocean does the next day. God speaks messages through the sun and the moon, the stars, the solar system. He speaks message to us. Last week, October, what was it, the 14th, we had the eclipse, the solar eclipse, the Rena fire. It's a message. If you think about this, God is speaking messages through the sun, the moon, the galaxy, the stars. How did the wise man discover Jesus? Through the North Star. Jesus, now get this, looked to the moon in Revelations, and when the moon turned blood, this was a message to the Jewish people. And in September, we had a full moon. And then the war hit. Jesus said that the sun will rule the day and the moon will rule the night. On the fourth day of creation, God brought into existence the sun and the moon on the fourth day. 84, 24, 4, 4. God does specific things with the number 4. 4 means time. And 4 means season. So Genesis 1, 14 through 19. Let's read. What he did on the fourth day. God said, let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night. And let them serve as signs. Let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years. Again, the number 4. It is marking a certain time. It's a sign to you to mark a certain time and season. Verse 16, God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. Verse 19, and there was evening, and there was morning on the fourth day. On the fourth. In Hebrew, number 4, again, we're talking 4 times and seasons. In Hebrew, number 4 translated appointed time. It's translated in an appointed time. We are in an appointed time, church. As never before. There is an appointed door that you will go through that you've never gone through before. Personally, in your family, in the church. And if I could title this message, it would be what's behind door number 4. Because it is an appointed door. This is a very appointed time that we are in. And I know even Jesus doesn't know when he's coming back, but I would say we are in the end times. Through the word, you will find where the number 4 was used for appointed times. 4 and fourth. In the references in the Bible, and there were specific references and passages in the Bible that the Lord pointed out to me for you personally that I want to bring up. After Jesus was nailed and hung on the cross, the Roman soldiers divided his clothes into 4 parts, one for each soldier. John 19, verse 23, when the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into 4 shares, one for each of them. In Hebrews 2, the 4 represents of God, the four witnesses of God on earth are miracles, signs, wonders, and gifts of the Holy Spirit in Hebrews 2. So this open door that we're about to go through, we will see on the other side signs, wonders, and miracles. And the only way we're going to see signs and wonders and miracles is when the body of Christ begins to operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. There is about to be an operation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that we've never seen before. The church has to get back the gifts of the Holy Spirit. When we begin to operate and move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, they're activated inside of you. They're cultivated within you. They can be stirred up within you. And when that begins to happen and we come together corporately, we don't wait on the pastor to do it or the praise team to do it, that we realize we can tap into that, this is when we will see signs, wonders, and miracles. So what are the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Wisdom. Knowledge. Insight, revelation, discernment. There right now needs to be a discerning of spirits like never before, because the opposite of discernment is deception. And right now our nation is being deceived. But God is going to give us the gift of discernment. What else are the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Healing, power, miracles, the apostolic anointing. This is what the open door entails for you if you'll tap into it. If you'll tap into it. My husband's about to read Amos 1 through 8. And again, we're talking about four. Listen to, as I give you these passages, listen to the number four. Okay, and the reason he's going to deliver it is because there's words in there I cannot pronounce. But, and before he does this, I want to say this, because Amos wasn't even in my notes. The Holy Spirit woke me up two nights ago. I could not go to sleep. And he said, go to Amos and go to Joel. And I begin, and that is your assignment, okay? If you will read it. If you'll go and read Joel, and if you'll go and read Amos, they're very short passages, it will blow your mind about Israel and Jerusalem. So this is just a taste of it. And again, we're talking about the number four.
Amos chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, 1 through 8. The words of Amos, who was among the sheep breeders of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. And he said, the Lord roars from Zion and utters his voice from Jerusalem. The pastures of the shepherds mourn and the top of Carmel withers. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Damascus and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because they have threshed Gilead with implements of iron. But I will send a fire into the house of Hazael, which shall devour the palaces of Ben-Hadad. I will also break the gate bar of Damascus and cut off the inhabitant from the valley of Avon and the one who holds the scepter from Beth Eden. The people of Syria shall go captive to Kir, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Gaza and for four, I will not turn away.
Wait, Benny, go back. Did y'all just hear that? Go back to Gaza.
Okay.
We know Gaza. Go Verse back. Six. Go back to okay. that, baby.
Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Gaza and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because they took captive the whole captivity to deliver them up to Edom. But I will send a fire upon the wall of Gaza, which shall devour its palaces. I will cut off the inhabitant from Ashdod and the one who holds the scepter from Ashkelon. I will turn my hand against Ekron, and the remnant of the Philistines shall perish, says the Lord.
Number four is powerful. It's very powerful. Again, what happened and what occurred through the word about number four? Lazarus had been dead in the tomb for 4 days before Jesus came to Bethany to resurrect him. Why did Jesus wait 4 days? Because number four is an appointed time. It's an appointed time. Mary and Martha were so upset. You've waited. Too late. He's dead. He's stinking. Jesus knew. He could have gone the first day. He could have gone the second day. This is his friend. Why did you wait 4 days? Because number four is an appointed time. It's an appointed time, and Jesus knew that. I want you to think about this. A tomb has a door. Lazarus was in a tomb. A tomb has a door. In fact, that's its door. A tomb door. And God showed me that many of the doors that will be opened up this year for you are tomb doors. A tomb represents death. What you thought was dead. What you thought was gone. What you thought that door will never open again. It is shut forever. The tomb door is opening up, says the Lord. The grave is opening and Lazarus will come forth because you're in the fourth. 84, 24. Israel will come forth. You will come forth. Listen to this. John 11, 38. Jesus once more deeply moved came to the tomb. Why did he come to the tomb? Because he was deeply moved. You have to understand right now what's dead in your life, what you think is dead, and it's not because the enemy's lying to you. It's moving the heavens. It's moving the Holy Spirit. It's moving God. I'm telling you right now, Jesus is so moved by what's happening with Israel. It goes on to say it was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. The stone was the door. Verse 39, take the stone away, Jesus said. Take the stone away. What did God tell you at the beginning of this message, the prophecy of September? I will take the stone that's been thrown at you and I will lay it at your feet and you will use it as a stepping stone to go into the open door. Take the stone away. Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, forth. Come forth. What's dead right now? It's about to come forth. It's about to come forth. Again, number four, speaking of appointed time, there was an appointed time in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as a door shut. There was an appointed door that shut behind them. They were thrown into the furnace. We know the story. They were left for dead. The door was locked. The door was sealed. The door was shut. But the fourth man showed up. Lazarus, come forth. But the fourth man showed up. Are you hearing this in the spirit? 5, 7, 8, 4, 4, 4. The fourth man is showing up for Israel. We don't see it in the natural. It's coming. That door that's been shut on you, God wants you to know Jesus is about to walk through the shut door. In the same way he did for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He got in there somehow. Hear this. It's the shut doors that causes the fourth man to show up. Oh, Jesus loves a shut door. Give me a shut door. Give me a locked door. Give me a door that's guarded by the enemy. Oh, I'll come through that thing. I do my best work when the door's locked. I do my best work, says God, when it's bolted shut. And you're locked behind that thing and you can't get out. Some of you are imprisoned right now, or you're sitting here free. You look free, but you're so bound by the enemy. He's got that door locked on you. Jesus is about to come through the door for you. Wow, there's such an anointing here. I can barely talk. Listen to this. Shut doors are not easy. They're not easy. They're not easy to be behind. We just been there for 3 years. That thing was shut on us. I cannot tell you how many doors were shut in our face time and time again. But we saw the fourth man show up. And I can honestly tell you, I know Jesus now in a way that I've never known him before because of the door that the enemy had us bound in and behind. And I had a choice to make. Okay, we're locked in this thing. We're imprisoned in this thing. So either I can wallow in it and cry in it and cuss in it, or you know what I can do? I can prophesy behind these closed doors that I'm shut up in. And I can speak to that thing. I can prophesy to that thing. Lazarus, come forth. Come forth. Are you hearing this? Amen. Some of you have experienced more shut doors than the open door. But Jesus is on the scene. to rescue you and come through for you because he's the only one that can right now. It's those kind of shut doors that if Jesus don't come through, we're not going to get through. That's where we were. If you don't come through for us, we won't get through. And I feel for some of you, that's the kind of door you're behind. He walks through shut doors. And not all shut doors are of the enemy. They feel like it. They look like it. They sound like it. Oh, dear God. That door that was shut on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he showed up. There was a specific door that had been shut and locked on Jesus. And he was given the keys to hell, death, and the grave and unlocked that door. So that we could walk through and not even come out smelling like smoke. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In Revelations 1:17, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last, and I am the living one. I was dead. I was dead. I was dead. Looked like I was locked behind that door. I was dead. And now look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. Some of you have been to hell and back, but you don't look like what you've been through. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't even smell like smoke. Manny and I, we've been to hell and back, but we don't look like what we've been through because of the fourth man. Because of the fourth man. Because Jesus went to the door, he unlocked it and said, go through. Go through. Go through that door that they said your son will never go through. Go through it. Go through it. The Lord showed me this, that what happened to you behind closed doors that should have never happened to you. Not all doors are pretty. Did not define you, but has empowered you so that now you can help others get through that same door. In fact, God will use what happened to you behind closed doors to open up ministries, to open up opportunities. Some of you have been through some things behind closed doors. Jesus was always there. You've been delivered from that room. So let's get out of that room. Because the enemy in your soul wants to keep you in that room. It happened to you, but it's no longer happening to you. But because the enemy has kept you bound, something that happened to you 14 years ago, I'm still in that room. And the master can heal you in such a way, it will empower you to help others get through what you've been through. Behind closed doors. Revelations 3, 7 and 8. What he opens, this is the theme for this month. What he opens, no one can shut. And what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength. Come on, is that you today? When we were here last week, or last year, we had little strength. I know you have little strength. Yet, you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not denying his name. And the fourth man showed up. Job, do whatever you want to do to me, but I will not deny his name. And he ended up with more than what he began with. Those that will not deny my word and deny my name, I know you don't have a lot of strength, but I'm coming, says the Lord. I stand before you today and I say there's a strength in me that I've never had before. Revelations 3, 7 and 8. Now this is the Message translation. It reads it this way. David's key in his hand. Opening doors no one can lock. Locking doors no one can open. I see what you've done. Now see what I've done. I've opened a door before you that no one can shut. You don't have much strength. I know that. You used what you had to keep my word. You used what you had to keep my word. Oh, I've been there. You didn't deny me when times were tough. What does number four mean? Time. Number four means times. Those who have had hard times, those of you that's been going through a hard time and you're not denying his word, he's about to open up a door for you like you've never seen before. Doors have been opening up for Manny and I that no man can shut. And I'm telling you, these doors would not open had we not been behind that closed door. For those 3 years. Listen to this. A door is a powerful thing. Revelations 3:20. It uses a door to represent your heart. Jesus is standing at the door, knocking. Will you open the door for him? It says that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, meaning we are his house. Every house has a door. I'm telling you right now, for some of you, God's waiting for you to open up the door. See, a lot of times we hear the open door and we think, well, God, we're waiting for you to open up the door. And he goes, no, big girl, I'm waiting for you to open up the door for me to come through that thing. Because I ain't going to go against your will. You got that door locked. You got to unlock it. Let me come in. Let me come in that hurt. Let me come in the trauma. Let me come in the pain. Let me come in the past. Let me come into that trigger. Let me come. Are you hearing that? Revelations 3:20 says this, here I am. I stand at the door and I knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. I stand at the door of your heart. Woo. The Passion Translation reads it this way, Revelations 3:20, behold, I'm standing at the door knocking. If your heart is open, to hear my voice, and you open the door within, I will come into you. Hear this. The door is how you got saved. Had it not been for the door that you allowed Jesus to walk through, you wouldn't be saved. So if the open door saved you, now that you're saved, oh my goodness, what can the open door now do for you after salvation? The doors don't stop opening up. And can I tell you why? Because now that you opened up the door for Jesus to come in, now he opens up the door for you. Now the Holy Spirit is opening up the door for you. Why is the door open? Because of the Holy Spirit. He is a gentleman. You ladies, there's nothing like when a man opens up the door for you and you walk through the door. Guys, you have to understand the Holy Spirit has been opening up a door for you to walk through. When are you going to walk through it? When are you going to enter in? Because this whole theme is the open door, meaning it's open. I'm waiting on you to open it. No. I've held this door open up for you for a long time, baby girl. The Holy Spirit's like, it's open. Now, let me tell you something about the Holy Spirit. He is a gentleman. He's holding up open the door for us, but he won't push you through the door. He won't pull you and drag you and shove you through the door, but he's waiting. He's waiting for you to enter in. Listen, this, number four, this is the time, this is the season of a kingdom realm, a kingdom heir, a kingdom benefits. We are citizens of heaven. You have to understand who you are. You are seated at the throne room of God.
You are not waiting for God to do something for you. It's already been done. Get behind closed doors and get what He has for you. The door is open. It's an open door. What are you waiting on? Go through. Go through. I love what Ephesians 1:3 says, and it's not going to be on the screen. It says that you can enjoy everything heaven itself enjoys. Are you doing that? Every day, am I enjoying everything that heaven is enjoying right now? Guys, that's big. And I can tap into it. Where's it at, Cammy? It's behind closed doors with the Holy Spirit. Where's it at, Cammy? It's when you shut the door behind you and you begin to seek Him and you begin to pray. And oh, something begins to happen in the private. And those who seek me privately, I will reward publicly. What's holding you back? What's keeping you from going through the open door? Fear of man? Been there. The fear of failure? Been there. What's keeping you from going through the open door? Think about it. Lack of faith. Insecurity. Comparison. Well, her door is prettier than my door. And here's the thing. If you keep watching her door, you'll miss your door. And that's what the enemy wants. He wants you to look at someone else's door that God's opened up for, and now you feel jealous or threatened. Well, why didn't God open up that door for me? He's just testing you to see if you'll be excited about their door. And as long as I'm watching pastor's door and the door that God's opened up for pastor, and I get jealous about it instead of praise God, be excited when God opens up a door for someone else. That'll open up doors for you like you can't imagine. But see, the enemy, we feel threatened, or we feel jealous, or we feel rejected. Can I just be real? Boy, if I'm always watching her door, I'll miss my door. Are you getting that? There was a door Esther had to enter in before she was crowned. And she had to get past the orphan mentality to do it. You're going to have to get past some mentalities before you can go through the open door. She had an orphan mentality. She was an orphan. She's there for a solid year. She's being prepared for the king. But now get this, even though she had that orphan mentality, she positioned herself at the front of the entrance of the door where the king was, and that's when he noticed her. Hear that. She had to take up a position and place herself at the open door so that the king could recognize her and notice her. Can you imagine if she would have stayed in her room? Well, I'm not worthy. Well, I'm just an orphan. Well, what if they find out who I am? Well, I'm so afraid. Well, what if I... The what ifs are keeping you from going in and getting chosen and crowned for such a time as this. Realize Esther was chosen for the Jewish people. Isn't that amazing? It is not a mistake right now that Branson, Missouri, sight and sound, Esther's playing. God's trying to get our attention. We got to take up our positions at that open door. There is specific doors He's saying, take up your position. Listen to this. Again, number 4 is an appointed time. Esther 4:14. Do you see the fours here? What does four mean? Times and season, an appointed time in Hebrew. Perhaps she was born for such a time as this for the Jews. Let's read Esther 5:1-3. 3 days later, Esther dressed in her royal robes and took up a position in the inner court of the palace in front of the king's throne room door. The king was on his throne facing the entrance of the open door. And when he noticed Queen Esther standing in the court, he was pleased to see her. The king extended the golden scepter in his hand. Esther approached and touched the tip of the scepter. Now get this, guys. This is now she's inside the open door. What happens next? She's now there. This is for you prophetically. The king asked, "And what's your desire, Queen Esther? What do you want?" "Ask, ask, and it is yours, even if it's half of my kingdom." Wow. I hope you heard that. Those who take up a position at the open door, the king invites in. "Come in, Cammy. Come in, Manny. Come in, Jada. Oh, look what I have for you. What do you want? What do you desire? Ask. And it will be yours, even if it's half of my kingdom." No, God says all of my kingdom. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Guys, you better be prepared when you go through the open door. What do you want? Do you know what you want? What do you desire? Ask, and it will be yours. We've stopped asking for what we want. Can I tell you why? We're need-based. We're so needy in the body of God. "I need a healing. I need freedom. I need deliverance." Those needs have been met. What do you want? When Esther entered into the open door, what do you want? "Well, I'd love a crown and a room." Oh, and a robe. "And maybe some handmaidens and oil and perfume." Why would she ask that? You've already got that. What do you want? What do you want? Can you imagine at Christmas time going to your children, "Honey, what do you want for Christmas?" Deodorant, toothpaste, maybe socks. What? "Honey, those needs are met every day. What do you want? And if you don't tell me what you want..." Oh, we are his sons and daughters. He's our king. He's waiting for you and me to go behind closed doors. What do you want? And you know what I love about Esther? When the king asked her that, and he's telling her, "Even half of my kingdom," you know what her response is? "The Jewish people. My people. My nation." When you are in relationship with God and you know him, you want what he wants. This is why it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Ask whatever you want, and it shall be given to you," because it's not your want, it's his want. It's his desire. It's his will. He's waiting for us to go behind the open door and ask for what he wants to advance his kingdom. Because he knows his children are not selfish and they won't ask for what they really want. It's not about the Cadillacs. It's not about the big houses. Guys, it's about the kingdom of God. What do you want? "I want to lay hands on the sick and see them healed. I want to see the dead come back." Come on, what do you want, Cammy? "I want the kind of anointing that no one's ever seen, no one's ever heard, to advance your kingdom." What do you want? What do you want? "I want a relationship with you. Oh, I want to be able," where it says in the word, "where you will tell me secrets that nobody has ever heard. That's what I want. I just want your will." He's waiting for us to go through the open door and get the will of God done. Oh, Esther could have said, "Oh yeah, you know what? I'll take half of your kingdom. Let's do that. I just want to remain your wife, your lover." She didn't make it about her. Woo! I end with this, and I know I'm long-winded, but it's good. That happens when you pray about something for 2 months solid. I want you to understand why the book of Esther even exists in the Bible. Why is it there? Because God's not mentioned. If you go back to the first chapter, Queen Vashti, who was chosen, stopped going through the open door to be intimate with the king when he requested for her. And then the search was on for the one who was willing to go through the open door. And Queen Esther was chosen. Hear that. The first queen was decrowned. And Esther was given her crown because she was willing to go through the open door. May you never give my crown to someone else. May platforms not be more than behind closed doors. May I spend more time with you behind that closed door than I do in the public. Because that's what Matthew 6 says to do. Shut the door behind you. Pray. Pray. Privately. And I'll reward you publicly. Matthew 7:7. Ask, seek, knock, and the door will be open. Again, ask. Second ending, and I'm done. Are y'all good? I got your attention, or I'd stop right now. Every house has a door. A door is there to keep the enemy out. It's for your protection. Hear this. A door has four parts. 5, 7, 8, 4, 24. A door has four parts. Number four. A knob, keyhole, lock, and hinges. Now get this. You are the only person who has the authority of your door to take your hand and turn that knob and let anyone in or keep anyone out, because you're the owner of the door. You're the owner of the door. The owner also has a key to that door that nobody else has, unless the owner has given them the key. At night, what do you do to the door of your house? Why do you lock it? Keep the enemy out. We have a responsibility to our door to keep the enemy out. You're in control of the door. Who comes in? Who goes out? Behind closed doors, what's happening in your house? Anything can happen. Whatever you want. And to me, we're missing opportunities with the king. And we're spending more time on social media and the social place than the private place, the secret place. You decide who walks through the door. You decide who you open the door up for. You have that authority. So the question is, who do I open up the door for? And who do I shut the door on? There's some of you in here in a relationship, and God says, you want to shut that door. Don't open it. Shut it. Who has access to your door? Who gets to go into your soul? Who gets to go into your mind, into your thoughts, into your heart? You have access. You get to determine who has the access to your soul and your heart. The last part of the door is this, the hinges. The hinges are the most important part of a door. You know why? Causes it to open and close. Listen to this. A hinge keeps the door in the right alignment correctly. Without the hinge to the door, it won't open. Who represents the hinge? The Holy Spirit. He will keep us in alignment for our assignment to go through the open door and do what God's told us to do. Hear that. So this door, God is saying, you got control of. Be directed by the Holy Spirit. Who do you need to let in your life? Who do you need to let out? Who do you need to open up the door for? Who do you need to shut the door to? And this can be people. This can be websites. Come on. There are some things in my life I got to shut the door on. And I know that. I'm going to shut the door on that. And I'm going to open up the door for that. Amen. Did y'all get something from this? I want us to stand. And it's 12. And I, if you will, Sissy, can you come and do whatever you want to do on the piano? I told Pastor Mark this, that this was the direction I was sensing. And we can turn the house lights down just a little bit. And I'm just sensing this in my spirit. And I don't normally do this, so I know it's the Holy Spirit. But I want to start off with this. If there's anyone in this house that the Holy Spirit is knocking at your door right now, the door of your heart, knocking, Jesus wanting to come in, wanting to live in your heart. Have you accepted him? Is the Holy Spirit drawing you right now? And if that is you, this is your moment of salvation, to open up the door to Jesus and let him live in you. Were you ever drawn by the Holy Spirit, or were you drawn by a friend at camp? Have you been saved? Are you saved? And if you heard that part of the message, I don't know if I've opened the door up to Jesus. I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know if right now, if the rapture did come, if I'd go. I don't know if I ever was convicted by the Holy Spirit. Or if I just did it because mom and dad go to this church. And I just, okay, well, I want to get saved. Man, if that's you, just raise your hand. I won't embarrass you, but we'll pray with you. Anybody here that's not saved? Okay, one. Anyone else that you do not know if Jesus lives in your heart? Anyone else? Okay, let's pray this prayer. Father God, I ask that you forgive me. I'm not asking you into my heart. Come, live. Dwell in me so that I can be born again. Amen. Now, this is for the rest of you right now. I think any time that the Lord brings someone in to give you a word, it's a corporate prophetic word, it's instruction. There is no way he would talk about Esther and talk about, okay, now that you're in the door, what do you want? What do you desire? Ask. Ask. When's the last time you asked God for what you want? Your kingdom kids, what do you want? I sense that so strong in my spirit. What do you want for your family? What do you want for this church? What do you want for your personal life with him to be? What do you want? What do you want? What do you want? Because we're spending so much time on the enemy. Can I just be honest with you? The enemy attacks, yes. The enemy robs, yes, I know it. But we're constantly in our prayer time going after the enemy, rebuking the enemy. And I know we're supposed to do that. And we're asking for healing and we're asking for the need. But then, what do you want? And see, that's the deception and the trap of the enemy, that we spend all our time on the need and we never get what we want or what he wants. So right now, I want you to think about that. What do you want from the King?
He looked at Esther, the king. What do you want? What do you desire? What do you desire, Cammy? What do you desire, Jennifer? What do you desire, Jada? Ask. Ask. And you know what? I hear this in my spirit. Some of you are standing there. I don't know what I want. Can I tell you why? You hadn't been with him in a while. Because when you're with the king, you hear what he wants. You sense what he wants. You know what he wants. And that's not condemning you. That's inviting you in his presence one-on-one time. Let him pray through you. Let him show you what he wants for you and what he doesn't want for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, Father God, if you just pray in the Spirit, can you just do that for a minute? You know what I love about praying in the Spirit? Satan has no idea what we're saying when we do it. It confuses the enemy. He does not understand that language. It's a secret, private, perfect prayer. What did God challenge us? Signs and wonders and miracles can happen in the church if we allow the operations of the gift of the Holy Spirit to come. Part of that gift is tongues. Part of that gift is the interpretation of tongues. And we have missed the tongues in the church because they've been abused and misused. But corporately, right now, I just want you to pray in the Spirit. And as you pray in the Spirit, this is what I'm hearing in my spirit. The Holy Spirit says, I will show you what to ask. I will show you what it is that you need to ask me for. What do you want? Some of you already know what you want. Ask him right now. Come on, use your language. Use your mouth. You don't need a prophet to prophesy over you. You know what you want. You're not unworthy, God says. You can ask for whatever you will, and it shall be given unto you. Come on. You got to know who you are in the kingdom of God. Some of you, in your marriage, you need to grab hands right now. What do you want? What you need to come into agreement? I mean, if God himself, and I do think he's here, was saying to you, hey, I'm here. What do you want from me? Would you just stand there and be still? Would you be silent? Would you not tell him what you want? I'm not missing this opportunity. Just for a moment. Come on, like a river, let it flow. We're not ashamed. You can turn live stream off now, please. Run da da da.